Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Avaya. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Federal agencies across the board are exploring ways to support a workforce that's going to be permanently hybrid, some in the office, some remote. For one strategy, I spoke with the Chief Information Officer of the EPA, Vaughn Noga. Let's begin then with a review of telework, telework levels, who's teleworking, or if possible, remote working that's not from home. What is the status and what's been the case? Let's set the scene here.
You know, for the last 2 years, Tom, we have been, the majority of the workforce has been teleworking, and we've actually been very successful at it. I think, you know, when COVID hit, we transitioned very quickly into re-looking at how we support a remote workforce. Everything from provisioning, supporting, communicating, training, and quite frankly, more importantly, how we secure those IT assets that are now distributed to folks' remote working locations.
And what was your initial methodology, technically, to get people into that mass teleworking situation?
I think one of the things that was the benefit of EPA is we already had the concept of teleworking, and we had already equipped the majority of our workforce with laptops and mobile devices. So we weren't working from a, oh my gosh, how do I acquire and provision laptop computers? The large number of our workforce already had been provisioned, so that was going in our benefit.
Plus, it's fair to say EPA has been a widely distributed agency anyway, almost from the inception. Plus, you have a lot of outreach and back and forth with regulated entities and other parts, you know, other sectors outside the agency. So it wasn't something like a novel concept.
It wasn't, but I would say that while we are widely distributed from the number of EPA locations, that we still were mostly in the office type workforce. We did have a fairly large number of routine teleworkers, but not to this extent.
And as we move into, well, nobody knows, but it looks like most predictions have it that people will be teleworking more than they did, and more people than before will be teleworking, even if it's kind of a hybrid with the office and at home. So what do you see needs to be done to make this kind of permanent? What from the ad hoc early days will you be replacing?
Right. I think that the term that you used was hybrid, and I think that's the one thing that we're focusing on. You know, before COVID, we supported a lot of folks in the workplace. After COVID, we predominantly supported people who were in a remote environment. And as we transition out of this, we're going to be supporting folks in both the workplace, the traditional workplace, and also at the remote workplace. And I think that will be where we are going to define our measure of success. And that's really how we engage effectively with the workforce to make sure that we're driving inclusivity, right? That we don't have a meeting where we forget to include the remote worker on the meeting. Those are things that we are certainly focused on right now, making sure that the technologies can support that hybrid environment.
Is there a mechanism going on to kind of take the pulse of the workforce? Do you have a sense of people saying, well, I'm glad to come back to the office, but maybe not 5 days a week, given the commutes most people have in most cities? We can feel it getting a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a sense of what the workforce wants with respect to telework. And I wouldn't say it's all or nothing. I think it's a mix. Folks certainly want the opportunity, and the agency has afforded the opportunity to increase telework. And also is now introduced the concept of remote work for folks who want to do more telework than what is currently offered, which is 80%.
I guess if it could be worked out, employees could work in another federal office. I mean, there's, I don't know what sorts of rules and regulations there are, but given that they're remote anyway, what difference would it make if there's an office nearby of the Commerce Department and you could borrow a table that nobody's using? You could still be an EPA employee.
You know, there hasn't been a lot of conversations. I know that one time long ago, GSA had telework centers.
I remember those.
And those kind of went by the wayside, if you will. I don't know that there's been a lot of discussion about how you leverage other people's space. Certainly, I think people look at space and certainly the costs associated with space. So inviting other federal employees in other spaces is a conversation I certainly haven't had with another agency.
All right, just curious about that. Nobody's figured out the rent chargeback yet, maybe, and that's why it's too complicated. And is it fair to say that you are moving past the VPN model for access, or tell us what's going on that front?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, we certainly still leverage a VPN, but we early on, we saw that, you know, having people 100% connected to VPN was not an effective way to manage the experience. And so we've transitioned what we could off of VPN and only require folks to use the VPN for applications or systems that they truly need to use the VPN for. Quite frankly, a lot of workers, you know, like myself, don't need to be on the VPN for prolonged periods of time.
Well, how do they get access to the data assets and the applications if not on the VPN? Or can they only do email when not on the VPN?
No, we transitioned to Office 365 several years ago. So the suite of the capabilities that we've got really supports the way that we work, provides us access to communications, to email, to video like this that we're doing right now, and also provides access to OneDrive and SharePoint and things like that. So folks generally have access to the resources they need to effectively work day in and day out.
But are there particular enterprise applications that are not part of 365 that you might need to have people access?
Sure, there are several applications that are behind the firewall that folks would still need to use the VPN to get to, and we do that by choice. But I see a big shift there as well, certainly with the Zero Trust memo that was released. We're looking at how do we equip those, enable those for multi-factor, so we can get out from underneath or behind a VPN.
Yes. So does that mean like a virtual desktop environment, or what's the alternative to the VPN?
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to, we've provisioned our folks with laptop computers, so we secure at the endpoints. That's one of the things that we made a big shift to. I think a lot of people had the concept of managing an asset that was on network. We had to look at it differently. We have to manage an asset regardless of where it sits. And so we've really taken that to heart, and that's how we manage our distributed assets.
And what's the policy and what's the procedure for with respect to what sort of data can be stored locally, if people need to work with data for different applications, and what has to stay in the cloud, as it were, or if EPA still has data centers, what has to stay there? How do you balance that issue?
Yeah, certainly from the data access perspective, again, we secure and we crypt at the endpoints, so access to the data. We don't allow folks to use personal owned computers to connect and download data to their personal devices. That's just not allowed by policy. And again, leveraging the capabilities of the inherent capabilities of Office 365 and the other tools that we have provides good data security for us.
And what about mobile devices, non-PCs, non-Macs that are running iOS, Android, et cetera?
Yeah, so for the EPA, we centrally manage all mobile devices. So everything is managed down to the application that's allowed to be installed on the device. So we actually implemented that many, many years ago as an enterprise service.
And talk a little bit more about the Zero Trust implementation, how the executive order, and then there's been some follow-up. There's been kind of a string of instruction from the OMB on this ever since the start of the Biden administration. How are you implementing Zero Trust? Give us some more detail there.
Right. So, you know, when the memo was issued, we, like every other agency, we digested what it was asking us as far as the specifics of it and the deadlines. You know, as we went through the memo, we were encouraged that a lot of the things that we've been doing over the last several years really helped us and will help us achieve the requirements out of the memo, as well as the other executive orders and other memos that have been issued in the last year. I think we've been proactive and prospective on how we identify technologies and how we implement those technologies. And I work with my entire senior staff. We've looked at it and we feel really comfortable about being able to meet, certainly have every intention to meet the requirements of the memo.
Any particular technical approaches that might be useful to other people listening?
I think one of the things that we did at the EPA is wherever we could adopt at the enterprise level, it made it much easier for us to manage that holistically. And I think other agencies probably should look at where do I want to manage something at the enterprise level. For instance, at the agency, all network and network connections are managed through a single organization. So across all of our locations, a single entity is responsible for that connectivity. Again, it's not everything, but where organizations and agencies can adopt an enterprise-wide approach, I certainly am a proponent of that.
So that single point of control also then extends to connections to your commercial cloud providers as well as to
Correct.
your own servers.
Correct. We actually engaged about 3 years ago how we were reimagining our connectivity to the cloud. We've got several providers. We leverage gsacloud.gov. We've got AWS and we've got Azure connections, and that's all managed centrally.
And what about people's home networks that they're using to access? That's kind of a weak link for many people. How are we getting at that?
Yeah, again, going back to what I said earlier, our goal is to manage the endpoint and really take the middle of it out of it. There's no way that an organization can manage that many, if you will, local area networks connected to the various providers out there. And so what we are focusing in on is the government furnished equipment that we provide all the employees.
Vaughn Noga, CIO and Principal Deputy Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The ability to quickly compose and launch digital initiatives is a top priority for the federal government. But to effectively build composable communications, government agencies must take a new, multi-cloud approach. Adopting a holistic hybrid cloud communications strategy is a must. To learn more about how Avaya can help your agency transition towards composable government, visit avaya.com. That's avaya.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Vaughn Noga, CIO and Principal Deputy Administrator of the EPA. We are discussing the hybrid in-office remote workforce and how to support it long-term. And from the user standpoint, accessing remote facilities remotely, cloud, EPA facilities, and so on, how do you make sure that everything is secure but not make people crazy with respect to the procedures and schemes to log on?
I think that your term you used is make people crazy. And that's one of the things that we don't want to do. We really want to democratize access. And we also want to make sure that it's, how you connect and access resources while you're in an EPA facility should be the same way you access those capabilities from sitting at home. What we've found is if you try to train on two different ways to do something, it ends up being confusing and it creates frustration. So a big goal of ours is how do we create consistency within the technologies we deliver, how we train on them, how we support them. So really taking that complexity away from the end user.
Does two-factor figure into the zero trust in the general security scheme?
It certainly does. Multi-factor is a big part of what we're doing. In fact, we recently transitioned to login.gov. We've made a big push to adopt. And again, this is part of looking at those federal shared services that make sense. One of the things that we made a decision on a long time ago is we're not going to try to compete in a space that there's already, a good solution, right? If there's a good federal solution, we should be working with those solution providers and adopting that. And that's one of the things that we've done, and we've been quite successful at it.
And early on in the pandemic, people were improvising and so forth. And now that we're settling into what's going to be a long-term hybrid, as we talked about at the top of the interview, people's concept of the facilities and capabilities they need in order to work at home has advanced somewhat. Printing comes to mind, for example, and nobody wants to use up all their own printer and paper. And talk about the idea of a greater user experience to simulate the full office environment when they're not there.
Yeah, so one of my wildly important goals that we developed several years ago was this goal of paperless. And so we've actually developed two goals. One is digitization, and paperless. And really that feeds into being able to work remotely. If you're not really relying on a paper file system, but you've got a workflow that's generating, you know, the forms that folks are required to submit, it goes through a workflow for approval, then you don't necessarily need to deal with paper. The concept of wet signature should really be only something you need for those forms that require a wet signature. So we look at what we're doing, you know, administratively, day in and day out. What do we actually need to have a wet signature on? And there's not a lot of stuff that requires a wet signature. Digitization, the other thing that we're looking at is making sure that we are able to receive everything and process everything in a digital format, right? So we don't want to receive data in a paper form. So we have an entire team looking at information collection requests. Certainly information collection requests that still are based on paper submissions, and how do we convert that to a full digital submission? And again, the other thing looking at this is, you know, how do we reduce some of the complexity by which we respond to, let's say, data calls? In the past, when you were using paper, you would get a signed paper, you would file it away, and when someone had a data call, you would have to break all this paper out, and you would have to try to find the response to that data call. By having it in a workflow, you can actually store the data on the back end, and the goal is that it should take one person to respond to a data call, not the entire agency. And that's really kind of the direction we're pushing.
Because I think the persistence of the paper file is because it is a convenient format. Although having home and offices, I carry a big red folder back and forth, and I thought that's pretty bad security risk if that paper folder somehow gets lost or shredded. So therefore, whether people are in the office or at their telework site, the folders are where they are, which are electronic.
Correct.
Talk more about the workflow required to tie those two applications, because you could easily generate 5,000 different folders and you have a navigation problem or maybe an AI problem in order to find what it is in the context that you need the work.
Yeah, I think, you know, the whole folder still is akin to, you know, a digital folder is akin to a paper file folder. I really want to move past that. So we're instead of storing that data through a workflow into a file folder, if you will, it's stored in a location that's accessible by, you know, either the individual or through the management on the backside if they're trying to look at the data. The whole concept of the whole file folder, while it still is going to be pervasive, because that's how folks have been brought up, if you will, and certainly, you know, that's how I was introduced to computers. We had a file folder and we stored our files on there. I think that's going to be evolving over time.
Because, you know, in the case of EPA, you've got this data that comes in from the field from different emitters and so forth, and water and air, and they all have that data that has to be worked with, plus the applications. How do you compose all of this into some kind of cogent workflow and view that works wherever anybody might happen to be viewing from?
Yeah, Tom. I mean, that's something that we actually have a team looking at that, right? One of the things that we want to do is we want to be one EPA, you know, a common and consistent approach for how we're working with external stakeholders, and how they interact with us, right? So we're really looking at what does that workflow look like? How does data come into the agency? Where does it eventually reside? We want to, you know, get rid of multiple data stores, if you will. There should be a common data store that people can access and use through APIs and other technologies to get access to that data.
And here's a really arcane question, but I think it gets to the reality of people actually working remotely, and that is the need for just large screen real estate. Do you supply people, in addition to the laptops, a 25-inch monitor at their house, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we've got standard provisioning, and we're actually having that discussion now with respect to as people transition back into the workplace, what does provisioning look like in the future? And I think a lot of that will depend on what percentage of their time they're in the office or at home. So we certainly, you know, the concept of provisioning large monitors for remote workers, that has entered into our language for the last 2 years. But I think that's something that we're working through right now of, you know, is provisioning for someone who works one day a week at home the same as, you know, the other 4 days in the office? Because, you know, that could quickly add up with respect to the cost associated with doing that type of provisioning.
And of course, you can get a 55-inch TV nowadays for $300. So all you need to do is give people an HDMI cable, probably, and they've got a monitor.
I'm sure there's some enterprising people out there that have already done that.
If the TV goes back to normal after you unplug it, then you've got a problem there too, perhaps. And just on the networking connection piece, EIS, the Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions Contract, agencies are at various levels of adopting those capabilities and contracts, and now you've got some more time to get there. Where does EPA stand there? And do you see those contracts and some of those products as maybe enabling the future as you envision it?
Yeah, we actually awarded our contract on EIS in December, and we're actively working with our carrier to do transition. And our goal is to transition the entire network by June, July timeframe.
And what's involved, by the way, with transition? Because in the old FTS days, the old telephony days, you had to maybe put in a new PBX or put in new desk sets and all of this. This is all virtual networking bits and stuff. So is transition really a challenge, or tell us more?
I think, you know, the transition for us is more administrative than it is technical. And I guess that was good for EPA that it is more administrative. Again, like I said before, we already had an enterprise concept. So we're managing that, you know, through one office within the agency. I think where complexity adds into the equation is when you have multiple organizations that are trying to manage their transition with the awardee. That's where it becomes really, really complex.
Well, you can write the book on it when you're done, because you're one of the pioneers here. That's really far down the lane. What else do we need to know about modernization, about the future of telework and so on at the EPA?
Yeah, I think, you know, we touched on the future of telework. I mean, again, I think the future of telework is yes. You know, the success is going to be based on whether you can implement it and support folks in a hybrid fashion. And I think a lot of it has to do with how we deploy technologies, how do we communicate and train our end users, and quite frankly, how do we take some of the complexity out of how people interface with these technologies in a day in and day out basis. That's going to be the measure of success for us. I always say, you know, I don't mind being ignored. It means that you know, no one's got a lot of complaints. So when my phone is not ringing, I'm probably the happiest. When my phone starts ringing, you know, those are the days that we need to, you know, sit up and pay attention. What are the issues? What are we trying to solve for? Who do we need to engage? And quite frankly, really need to decide, is it a technology issue or is it a training and education issue? We actually, this last couple of years, we engaged another office to really look at how we're communicating and training the workforce, right? There's a smaller number of IT people in the agency versus non-IT people. So we need to make sure that we are communicating to them in their language, not in our language. And I think that's one of the things that we've learned, certainly in the 3 years that I've been back in this office.
And a final question. You are the CIO, but you're also the principal deputy administrator. And what are the plans for that central staff? Will it continue to work in the same remote hybrid way as the rank and file?
Yeah, I'm not quite the PDA. I'm the Deputy Assistant Administrator for Environmental Information. But, you know, we're going to implement telework the same way the agency does. There's a lot of activities that, you know, just like other parts of the organization, that IT can benefit from a teleworking environment. And I certainly am working with my office directors and their managers on how we can best support and implement teleworking across our workforce.
Vaughn Noga, CIO and Principal Deputy Administrator of the EPA. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Tamman.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Avaya on Federal News Network.